Hello, this is Susan Nash, and you are listening to a few thoughts on humanities. Today, I'm going to talk about William Hogarth and the social media of 18th century England, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what would Hogarth say about Brexit. Starting around 1711, with the launching of one-page news and gossip sheet, The Tatler, London suddenly had an explosion of daily information that was liked, shared, trolled, and sometimes even demonetized in ways that profoundly parallel today's social media. The Tatler, The Spectator, and The Guardian were the most influential, but there were many competitors and upstarts, all competing in a London hungry for outlets to protest conditions, rail against the leaders, and promote the theater, arts, and literature. Most of the content was social and political commentary, and disinformation was as popular as truth, and more so if the truth was not very interesting. In addition to stories and journalism, ink prints, often hand-colored, were extremely popular. And of all the artists, William Hogarth, 1697 to 1764, was by far the most popular with his satiric and moralizing visual narratives. The most popular were lurid cautionary tales, for example, A Harlot's Progress and A Rake's Progress, 1733, were sold, and virtually all of London was encompassed in the expansive din of sin. Hogarth's depictions of society and the kinds of characters people knew in their own society told biting stories that were built on truth. They illustrated much of what one would see in the novels and theater of the time as well, as in such classics as Oliver Goldsmith's She Stoops to Conquer. In his paintings, Hogarth shows a great deal of admiration for the Dutch and Flemish realist traditions, with small details showing the humanity of the subject, such as children teaching their dogs to shake hands, such as the case of Hogarth's oil sketch of the family of George II. As in the social media of the 21st century, Hogarth's prints had an immediate impact on public opinion. They were reproduced, shared, and commented upon in the news and widely circulated daily broadsides. They had the ability to influence public opinion of public figures, such as well as to openly acknowledge the darker aspects of a modernizing, industrializing center of an emerging empire. The role of technology in free speech. As almost always is the case, technology made the breakthrough in communication possible. New hydraulically powered milling technology made cheap paper possible, along with printing presses, good ink, and distribution systems. And also there was the willingness of the government to tolerate a free press. Even though libel and slander laws were in place, the overall atmosphere was one of freedom of expression. The public loved the lurid depictions of their own society, and they had more disposable income than ever. Part of the willingness to tolerate a free press could have to do with the fact that the new Hanoverian king, George II, did not speak English very well, and, in fact, did not even feel comfortable in England. He was king by a trick of fate. The previous monarch had no living offspring, despite his wife's 14 pregnancies. The king was willing to delegate authority and take more of a hands-off approach, recognizing the role of Parliament in day-to-day government. Hogarth's depiction of Georgian society in satire, which may have displeased the... Hogarth depicted Georgian society with satire, and that may have displeased the Hanoverian monarchs. Under the Hanoverians, England grew, but not without controversy. With the new social media, aspects of society that could have been kept under wraps were free to be exposed, and an entire population could be awakened to what really transpired in their midst. Hogarth's Gin Lane and The Marriage Transaction were hard, honest, and humorous looks at the realities of London. Jumpstart to Brexit. What would William Hogarth do? England is on the cusp of a dramatic change, but instead of growth and expanding influence, the change involves rather startling potential shrinkage. Brexit could open new trading relationships, but in 2016, trade with the European Union constituted 48% of UK's total exports. In 2016, trade with the 52 nations of the British Commonwealth constituted only 9% of total exports. Brexit does not mean that there will no longer be trade with the nations of the European Union. However, it does mean that trade will be slower, more complicated, and subject to protectionism without the hard-won trade partners' bloc harmonization protocols that are not easily replicated in individual countries on a piecemeal basis. So, even if the UK maintains a 48% of exports to the UK, the profits are likely to be much lower. Most economists predict that a Brexit, without any sort of trade harmonization with the EU, will result in an immediate collapse of exports to the EU from Britain, as tariff and import ambiguities constitute a powerful barrier. So what would William Hogarth do? I think he would depict the shopkeepers. One can imagine Hogarth's depiction. Oh, sorry. With such disastrous potential consequences, what was it that induced members of the UK to vote to leave the European Union? Two factors were portrayed by social media, and they had a measurable impact on popular opinion. First, fear of immigration to the UK. And second, the resentment of external standards that resulted in a very high production cost, especially in food and agricultural sectors. One can imagine Hogarth's depiction of UK farmers, shopkeepers, and city dwellers terrified by violence, and then also of immigrants and the EU as seen through the eyes of English nationalists. So those are a few thoughts on William Hogarth, social media of the 18th century, and potential relevance to today's situation, interesting parallels. I think it's worthwhile to take a look at Hogarth's ink prints as well as his paintings in Rococo style. They're absolutely beautiful. The lighting has that beautiful Rococo clarity, the colors, and very fine brushwork. Also, his prints are often colored too, but they're in series, and they tell a story, narrative, and they're also often not just satire, but they convey a moral message, which is important, and they do not necessarily blame the victims. They essentially blame a society that has made people desperate without a firm moral compass and a clear moral compass. Well, those are such universal messages and timeless conditions. So anyway, this is Susan Nash, and you've been listening to Thoughts on Humanities.